All right, the Lord is good. All the time. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's quickly take our declaration as we usually do when we start to study. And then we'll sit down and learn some things. Then we'll get up and then continue to pray again. Let's do that. All right, one, two, let's go now. I declare. The Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all sharing wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, using Him in all respects, and bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take your seats. The Lord is good. All right, welcome once again to our School of Prayer. Today I want to share something with us briefly. I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to learn that because it's been on my heart since morning as I'm thinking of today's meeting. And I don't know how to caption it, but I want to talk about praying to remove hindrances to answers to prayer. Is the sentence too long? What did I call it? Thank you. So, we are praying to remove hindrances that may be on the way concerning our answers to prayer. So, that's what I want to talk about. Okay? How do we start this? Okay, we'll read a few portions of the Holy Scriptures. Let's start with the one from Joshua. All right, Joshua chapter 7. One of the things I do as a person, if you see, I think on our website, written in our magazines, books, and all of that, the purpose of Kingdom World Ministries is to separate the church from the world through the teaching of the truth of God. So personally, one of my greatest desires or pursuits is to get Christians to reason differently, to reason like Christians. There is a reasoning pattern that is Christian. Do you get my point? There is a reasoning pattern that is Christian. And Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now he was talking about how you see things, how you interpret things, how you assess things. That is, if this thing is white, what does it mean to you? If this is black, what does it mean to you? That's meaning of mind. That's meaning of mind. How do you interpret the things that happen? Now, Paul said you must be changed so that your interpretation of life will be purely that which God, how do I say it now? You know, you start seeing things from God's perspective. You start decoding and coming to conclusions according to the mind of God. That's what it's supposed to be. So you go and see in Isaiah chapter 55, God rebuked the people. He said, your ways are not my ways, neither are what? Your thoughts, my thoughts. That is, there is a way I want you to think. Please, just a small aside. Nobody should interpret that as God demonstrating his superiority. No, he was rebuking our low position. It's like saying, all have sinned. As a result, they fall short of the glory of God. He was not saying God is glorious and you are without glory. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, you are not where you are supposed to be. Sin caused it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You know why I'm saying this? Because once I led a Bible study, and somebody pointed out that, look, God says your ways are not my ways. My ways are higher than yours. I said, no, that's a rebuke. That was a rebuke. It wasn't a case of I'm bigger than you. We're not saying it's not bigger than us. We are saying when he said that, he said, you as people, as my people, there is a way you are supposed to walk, and that is what is called my ways. And that's what Moses gave Israel in the commandments. Please, I hope you're getting my point. All right? And when you are not doing it that way, he rebukes you. So he said, your ways are not my ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts. That is, I expect you to think my thoughts.
So Jesus will say, or Paul will say, let this mind also be in you that was in Christ Jesus. What was that? Some Bible use the word attitude. All right, Paul writing to the Philippians. He said, let this attitude be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Or the mind, if you use King James English. That is, there is a way Jesus thought. There was an attitude he had towards things, or he has towards things. Make sure that is inside you also. I hope you're getting it. The aim of all this preaching is to bring all of us to that attitude. Now, sometimes I hear people talk. If I tell my wife, I say, so now, wow. I say, I just get blown away. What I mean is that I'm surrounded so much by my wife, my children, people I teach the word, people we discuss the scriptures with, that occasionally when I hear other people talk, my son was telling me this morning of an argument he had with one of his, I don't know if it's a friend or somebody he knows anyway, not enough for the person's status to be showing on his phone. So the fellow said that, somebody asked, what's your greatest regret in life? Or what is the worst thing that you think has happened to you? And that one answered, not being born in a home with generational wealth. Thank you. I like that shock. That the greatest, he thinks one of the worst things that have happened to him is that he was not born in a home with generational wealth. And I'm wondering that you want your father to read this. How will you prosper in life? I think your father will read it and place a curse on you. So that generational wealth, you never create it. Don't forget generational wealth started somewhere. I was telling us the other day about David Green's, that's the Bible app man, all right? Now, his family, he started the business. They're a family of billionaires. The family is a billionaire family. If you break down the wealth, everybody will be worth hundreds of millions of dollars, all right? That's Bible app man. His father was a poor pastor. I think they were a family of nine, father, mother, and I think seven children, also certain about that. And the total income the man was earning in a week, I think it was about 100 and something dollars or so. Anyway, they were poor. So what do you call generational wealth? Yet, through that man, God created wealth for the subsequent generations. I don't understand talking about that. You know, how can a young man now get up and say, the greatest problem I have in life is that I was not born into a family with generational wealth? If any of my children say that, better say it only after you've finished school. Because I won't give you money again. Of course, thank God they will not say that. So my son said he picked the guy up. Like, what do you mean by this? And it became an argument. So he came to tell me, say, why am I? I said, if at the point I had to ask him, why are you talking with such a human being? Obviously, you are not reasoning on the same frequency. Thank you. You are reasoning so differently. And that's what I'm talking about. There is a way Christians are supposed to reason. Things happen around you. Jesus said there are different ways to interpret things. When you see the calamities and the signs, all right, coming upon the world, this is a worldly way of interpreting things. Trouble is coming upon us. So your heart should fail. You should become afraid. Do you get my point? But how should the believer interpret it? What should he say? He said, my redemption draws near. So he said, get ready. Straighten up. Lift up your head. So all these troubles have come to an end. And meanwhile, there's calamity around. But your interpretation is what? My redemption draws near. This is the thought of, I'm quoting this. I saw it recently. A man said, when I talk to people, if they are Nigerians in Nigeria, 90% of what they are talking about is problems. So, but when they are foreigners, under the same circumstances, so 90% of what they are talking about are the opportunities that they can see in the same country where some other people are only seeing problems 90% of the times. The reason why you interpret things the way you do is what is called faith. So the Bible says, by faith we do what? We understand. So how do you renew your mind? It's to move away from unbelief thinking to faith thinking. How do you renew your mind? Is to move away from the way the common person thinks to the way the scriptures say. How do you renew your mind? It's just to shift what you think is important. For example, Jesus says, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Small aside again. So if you're a young woman, a single woman, Nobody should ever be able to impress you with the wealth he has when he's trying to ask your hand in marriage. It shouldn't be a matter of, it should be like, your friend should say, wow, you want to marry him, but the guy is so rich. And like, are you people blind? I don't know whether you're getting my point. Why is that an issue? That doesn't describe, it's like saying that, man, did you see the guy? Handsome guy, his hair is so long. I don't know whether you're getting my point. African, and I don't mean long like Arab or, you know, person's hair. I mean like, yeah, his afro, okay, let's just put it the way it is. His afro is so thick. Would that mean anything? So I'm thinking of marrying John now. What? He has very thick afro. You know, you're going to say, Angela, are you okay? What has afro got to do with life? What has it got to do with destiny? You know, that's what the Bible says concerning wealth. You know, I never knew people thought like that seriously. You know, didn't have close conversations, that is, conversation with people like that. They're not close to me. Oh, for instance, I was in university. I've been surrounded mostly by believers. The first day somebody asked me, I wasn't even here, I was in my office. A student came. We had some dealings together, so he used to come, you know, once in a while to go, hello, sir. And I said, sir, are you going for that wedding? I said, yes, I was invited. Ah, he said, myself, I must go. I said, oh, good for you. Ah, he said, I can't miss it for anything. Now, you answer, he said, that girl is very lucky. That girl is very lucky. The girl getting married. Somebody we both know. This girl is very lucky. So I was like, I don't know if she's lucky. You know, I was confused. The guy she's marrying, I don't know him personally more, but I know somebody knows him well, and they used to work together. All right? And I know the lady a bit, not much. Not much more than the person I was talking with. Okay? I said, ah, she's very, very lucky. And I can't, you know, I still remember that day. I was wondering, I can't seem to get it. What is a luck? Okay, until I got there for the wedding. I now understood. Happened to be a big person. I was a politician. I don't know how you get my point. And then we got for the wedding because important, the cream de la cream of the political circles, they were all there. So in my mind, this is what you call luck. I hope you notice how problems also start. I hope you know this was not promised that this marriage will last more than 6 months. Or that you'll be happier than the average person taking a stroll on the road. I know one particular guy was involved in the wedding ceremony. You know how long the marriage lasted? 1 month. 1 month. 1 month. That's all. In fact, the wedding was very funny. I was there, you know, I was called as one of the officiating ministers. We officiated everything. And it was a dream wedding for most young women. After the wedding, they took a trip, boom, disappeared. Europe, from Europe to America. And then the guy said the girl should go back home. He will come back home after. Anyway, as soon as they separated abroad, you go back home. Me, I will come back later. That was when the marriage ended. It lasted only as long as that honeymoon travel. The girl said, flat, I'm not marrying him again. I thought it was a joke. Months later, my wife saw the young woman on the road. How are you? Long time. How's your husband? She said, which husband? I told you before I finished with that one. I'm not exaggerating. I told my wife, flat. I told you guys, I'm not marrying again. And she never went back. All I know. I'm sure when she was getting married, somebody would say, oh, that girl is very lucky. Why? Because you married somebody that had money, plenty of it. So I encounter things like that. I say, what? Why do you say somebody's lucky? Just because, oh, I married a rich man. Like that young mom, that young boy was telling my son, my great-grandfather was not born in a house of generational wealth. People have walked away from this generational wealth. I don't even remember Lady Diana. Okay, so you don't remember. Many people are, you may not know. I was in secondary school when she wedded. And it was international news when she married Prince Charles. Yes. We watched it on NTA. This man is laughing. Like, why you were there? I didn't go for the wedding in London. I mean, watched it on TV. I don't know whether I was live. I can't remember. This was long ago. But the whole world, we're watching Lady Diana get married. We did not know that from that wedding, before the wedding, their problems had begun. That girl drank the waters of bitterness every day. After, I mean, the whole world was envying Lady D. Every girl was dreaming of, you know, before it was Prince Charming. It was no longer Prince Charming, it was Prince Charles they were now dreaming of. If you engage to a woman, and I was too small to be engaged to anybody, right? But if you engage to a woman, I'm sure that next time you saw her, she'll just, get away. And then marry you, are not even a prince, not to talk about Charles. You are not even Prince Chigbundu or Chichai, which kind of, get out. Because it was everywhere. It was everywhere. It was everywhere. I still remember very well. I can remember things where God blessed me with that. The picture of the wedding dress, with all the people that worked on it, surrounding the dress, and the woman who designed it, kneeling down, carrying part of the dress. I can't remember the exact figure, but think, you know now, the money for that dress that time. I don't want to give you a wrong listing. Some thousands and thousands of pounds. This was in the early 80s. And we're talking about it in school. Later on, when the lady will be telling us stories. From the very beginning, Anna realized that, I don't know what I'm doing here. She said that from her wedding, you know, from her honeymoon, she knew she was in trouble. Now, yet, young girls were feeling like, if your name is not Prince Charles, you will come. Don't come in this house. Don't come near this house. If you're not Prince Charles, if you're not related to Queen Elizabeth. But Christians, we understand that. See, let me tell you something here. There are different ways you can come to know something. You can learn from experience. But the best way to learn is from instruction. It's by instruction. When God tells you this is not right. When somebody by the Spirit of God tells you this is right, do this. That way you don't have to pass through certain experiences. Just trust. That's what faith is. That's the meaning of, that's the opposite of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So that we're doing, as we're teaching the word of God, all right? Is to get us to think like God. So like my son was telling me this morning, the moment that young man said what he said, he reacted immediately. Like, what do you mean by this nonsense talk? Things happen to me till now, once in a while. You're not angry. I say, about what now? Look at what this man said about you. I said, so how is that affecting my skin? This man didn't help you. God didn't put it in his hands to help me. I'm not going to get angry with you. Where did I learn that from? Scripture. See, do you know, I was reading something today in the house. Well, reading the Bible in the house. Was it yesterday? Abimelech said, Lord, you know. He's the one that said, that's Abraham and his wife. He's the one that said that she's my sister. I normally wouldn't do such a thing, take a man's wife. You know me. And you know what the Bible says? What God said to him? I know. That's why I kept you from sinning against me. That hit me. He took the man's wife. And God distracted him with state function. I don't know whether I get my point. Suddenly, he fell sick. Suddenly, he had to travel. So keep that new wife for me. I'm coming. And God said, you're a dead man. Ah, if you read the Bible, the way he said it. Say, you're a dead man. The man said, dead care. But where I'm going is that, you see, he said, God said, I kept you. That enters me in a different way. That means God is able to keep you from doing what is wrong. I hope you get my point. That is, God could have kept Judas from betraying Jesus. God could have kept. So listen, let me tell you something, which is where I'm going to with all this talk. As Christians, let's understand God-centered thinking. As Christians, we must learn it. I'm not kidding about it. So that if your phone drops from a height, hits a hard floor, and breaks, and that's how I am, I look for the injured that threw it. Say, which one of you threw my phone? It's not a game of chance. It's not an accident. Say, what if I was careless? God could have prevented it from hitting the floor. I've come to understand. It could be a statement from God speaking to me about my carelessness. See, my carelessness at that moment didn't break that phone. God is judging my actions every day. So it could be because I'm careless, but not that one. Did you catch what I said? No, it's not that one. is the habit of carelessness that's been spoken against. Ah, God knows how much the phone is. You think he doesn't know? If it breaks, he knows how much I have to pay from his money. After all, any money I have belongs to whom? He wants me to divert his funds to buying a new screen. And you know the kind of phone we're talking about, those S people, when their phones break, that half of the cost of the whole phone is to buy the screen. God knows all of that. And God has the power to catch it. He has the ability to blow a piece of rug. I mean, there was one man I met. They shot him point blank. And an angel went, blocked the bullet. And how did it manifest? A few minutes before, he had told his friend to wind the glass. And the mechanism of the winding mechanism just stayed where that the guy was close by, shot him through the door. The thing trapped it. Can stop a bullet. This is a phone, it can't stop. So if the phone falls and breaks, and that's me, immediately I look and like, I remember one day I traveled, I'd been away from home for weeks, over a month. And I came back, my wife came to Lagos to come and wait for me. And I waited for my luggage. They keep waiting as if it's coming the next round. After a long time, they switched off the machine. Where I'm going is that? It was rough that period for certain reasons. Some of the things that happened around that time was really, really terrible. Okay? You know, family issues. My dad was critically ill. It was an admission. You know, so all the pressure was on my head. I remember I lay down at night. I said, God, what are you doing with my bag? Yeah, that's how I asked him. I had to go and start filling form at the airport. So I laid that. My wife was not begging me at night. Oh, my husband, Bele. I said, ask, what is the Lord doing with my bag now? Why did he hold my bag? Yeah, that was it. I said, Lord, okay, what are you doing with my bag? You know, I said, there's not enough trouble on my head. What are you now doing with my bags? I wasn't angry with the airlines. With the airline. What are you doing with my bag? I still remember, that was my prayer, Lord. Okay, what did I put inside that's not supposed to be there? I went 2 days later, back to the airport, and my bag had arrived. My box is 2 of them. I picked them. But it's a prayer I remember. I laid down that. My wife was begging me. That's how I reason. That's how I reason. I've told this story many times to illustrate it. A young man was getting married. He came to borrow my car. So I gave it to him. I traveled with the other car that I had, me and the family. Then I came out in the evening. I was at my convention to take a call. My friend called from abroad. So I knew the gist would be long. So I just went outside. It was late. I just sat in front of the hotel we're using. I was just talking. And before that, when I drove up, I parked. And something just made me look at the car parked across. And I said, if this guy reverses, he will reverse into my car. So I moved my car away slightly from where I was parked. We're just parking then. So I just shifted the car back a bit, giving it about 2 meters or so from where I stopped initially. And I went into for the program. Later, it was now a few hours later than I came out. I sat there as somebody walked out from inside the hotel, walked to that car, and all this while I was on the phone. And I was watching, you know, like saying a movie. I watched the movie play. The guy walked into that car that I had noted earlier. He started that car while I was watching and talking on the phone. And he reversed the car, boom, straight into my vehicle. You know, I didn't stop what I was doing. I was watching the whole thing. I was still talking on the phone. I was just watching the whole thing. So my brain around went to go and say, ah, what happened? No, they were gathered around there. Me, the owner of the car. I just said I was watching everybody. And I got up nicely and walked over to where they were. Now, you know, because I moved the car, do you get me? Instead of bashing me on the side, he hit the front bumper. Rocked the car violently, but it didn't damage it. Because he hit just the bumper in front. Very slight dent on the bumper. There was a very small, just a small, it was nothing significant damage to my car. Now, you know what God was using that one to do? Now, this is where I'm going. Now, it's not rocket science to know that it was a clear hand of God that saved me from that small damage. What was God telling me? You are going to get news of a greater damage. Don't worry about it. Because the fellow I gave my car to had a terrible accident with the car. The car somersaulted. So I just realized, what was God saying? See, saw the way I prevented this one. I could have prevented that one too. Why didn't I? Let's not. It's not everything God tells you. So just leave it. See, there's a story I've heard before. Maybe it happened or not, I don't know, but it illustrates this thing very well. Death, that is the angel of death, was going out one day. And another angel met him on the way. So they said, let them walk together. So they got to the house of one poor man. The man was poor. The man entertained them like Abraham entertained angels unawares. So it was nice to them. He cooked for them, gave them space in the house to sleep. It was so nice. But this man was poor and had only one cow. That was the only property he had, apart from his poor house. Had a small farm around there. So in the morning, when they were leaving, the cow was dead. So there were two angels now, angel of death and another angel. So when they were leaving, the other angel knew what happened. Heck, ha! Huh? Look at the angel of death, say, oh boy, you are wicked. You saw how nice that man was to us? You still had to kill his cow. The guy said, pipe down. I was supposed to kill him. Like I said, I don't know what really happened. Just with the other angel, calm down. When we arrived, I came to kill him. He survived because of this thing you are saying. He's so nice. Yes, that's why I didn't kill him. But I had to kill something. Do you get the point? So the guy was saying that, listen, he didn't die. That's what you should be thankful for. That only his cow died. So sometimes when you look like, why didn't God prevent it? You don't know what he prevented. You don't know he utters words like, thus far and no further. You don't know that when Satan came to Job, what he wanted was Job. You know, God had to tell him, you can't touch his flesh, but you can't kill him. So many of us could be there making noise. Job saved God. God said, if I had allowed things to go the way the enemy planned it, enemy has plans. Read my Bible this morning. I forgot which particular psalm. Was it yesterday night? Or was it this morning? David said, lead me in the way of truth because of my enemies. David said, listen, God, keep me on the way of truth because of my enemies. What does that tell you? The deliverance from the plan of the enemies is your walking in the way of truth. That is deliverance. The way of deliverance is by walking in truth. So the enemy has power. When I stray, that's what I'm looking for. I stray away from the path of truth. So sometimes they come, you know, with accusations and things that will cause, you know, life to go against you. Do you get what I'm going to say here? So God, however, because of his mercy, the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession. All right? So because of the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, it limits the hands of the enemy. Many times you don't know how bad things could have been. I've gone to calamity before. And then I remember a friend of mine told me that, you came to my mind some time ago, I started praying for you. And I told him what happened to us. That's my wife and I at that period. He said, okay, no wonder I had to be praying for you. But what hit me was that it was meant to be worse. So whatever we went through was actually mercy. God had raised people to pray. He had looked upon, pardon me to use the expression, our offerings. Now, I don't mean money now. Please, I don't mean money. You get my point? Because your life is an offering. He had looked upon your dedications and certain things and had raised prayer warriors, intercessors on your behalf, so as to limit the damage the devil will do in your life. I said, don't worry, I'll take care of the rest. I'll cause restoration. And sometimes you must know the way God works. That damage is necessary for something else to come up. I don't know what I get my point. There are blessings that can't come except a seed is sown. Some blessings are designed to be multiplication that will come as a result of a seed sown. And that seed has to be thanksgiving in the middle of a loss. Do you get my point? God could have saved What's the name of our guy? Stephen. But God said, the anointing no go hot. You are the one crying over Stephen. One day, one of our brothers talked something, and the way we charged at him, he said, Stephen would not have died if he did not say, into your hands, I commit my spirit. I said, my friend, keep quiet. I said, no, your problem. You are too earthly minded. I said, if you see what Philip saw, you will not only commit your spirit, you commit your bones. The guy said, I'm very sorry. I said, you had better be sorry. The way we charged at him, it was releasing revelation. You know, when you've gone to small boy churches, you'll be releasing. You know what I mean by small boy churches? As a young boy on campus, release revelation for you before. So when you declare, you will walk through the wall. You'll be, what's the word of our WhatsApp group? The camp of the ancient immortals. The revelations you will see, just these are small boys. There's this small boy is preaching. When you have entered into God, your words are very simple. They say when John was an old man, what is, do you have anything to say to the church? He said, my children, love one another. The young boys are saying like, a revelation. I began to intercede this morning. The Lord was showing. John said, hey, guys, love one another. The Lord is good. So the brother was sharing revelation that day. He shared, go here, shared, go there. He said, no, you don't have to die. Stephen wouldn't have died. It's just because he opened his mouth and said, into your hand I commit my spirit. If he had said, Lord, I hold my spirit, I said, come on, relax. The word of God shouted on him, the guy piped down. How can you see Jesus Christ? You are thinking of your BMW. Are you normal? Since I just finished that house, I never park inside. You never see Jesus. Okay. Some of you went to school, read. I know it again. Yeah, final year law, this one I know too. Many, I just want to pick two. Final year law student. Final year engineering student. The see visa, they travel. Did they catch what I said? They gave them visa. They abandoned. Why didn't they say, oh, I'm about to finish my degree, let me just collect it? No! For a glory that is greater in their opinion. See, some people say that, Jesus don't come back. I never marry yet. This was what, small Israel was here for a long time. Once he saw love, he said, Jesus, please, you are not coming for December. Jesus said, I don't know. He said, nah, help your guy now. Come in January. No, we all said that nonsense when we were young. I went and said, I invested and I said, I know. Say, Jesus coming soon. We said, to where? Don't come here to say, Lord, this marriage, thing, which we must do now. Say, Jesus said, I'm coming. We said, Maranatha, not now. Say, Jesus, you have a long time to come. Come after 2 months after my wedding. We thought that nonsense. We all say, if you didn't do it, you're very spiritual. Let's leave it like that. The only people I didn't do, I know. It's Pastor Dami. Dami that was walking through strange places. The guy was thinking of how he will mount on clouds with angels. Ask him, is your husband? The Lord is good. See, what is his name? Stephen had to say that when he saw something. We've heard testimonies. There's nobody I've read the testimony that died and Jesus said should come back to the earth that did not protest. We've read all kinds of testimonies. Some of them, you can't even say it in front of their wives. Their wives are like, what? He said, if you come back, you're not thinking of us. The guy is looking, he didn't know how to tell the woman, think of you. When you get there, can you think? You can't think. If you get it, you can't think of anything. The glory is so much. Now let's get back to it. So don't feel bad for Stephen. That's what I'm going to say. Don't feel bad. God said, look, except Stephen dies, he abides alone. The anointing will be small. So let Stephen die so that in, so to speak, resurrection, a poor will arise. You know, today, if there's argument between Paul and Peter, we'll tell Peter, go and sit down. Am I right or I'm wrong? Of course, now we have so much regard for Paul. But so where I'm going is that sometimes God allows some negative things to happen because he is God. He can bring out something out of it. And what he wants to bring out, if that thing doesn't happen, we would never allow it to come out. That's the truth. I'm talking about God-centered thinking. So that if calamity happens, you will worship. I heard a story. A very, well, I'll just give a bit of it. You've heard this song. You are worthy to be glorified. Now, it was not originally released in English. You heard the story. Have you heard the story before? Okay, from me. Somebody else will hear so that I can confirm it. When I heard the story, I said, wow. There was, make it long story, there was a kind of disease that was spreading and killing people. No, this family, disease entered. Make it long story short. They prayed and prayed and prayed, and this woman's child died. And what was her response? That was the song she composed. What the Bible calls a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. That's what they call a new song. A new song is a song that is new. Not the one that Nathan Abasi released last week and you're just hearing it. That's not a new song. It's a song you have never heard before. You just compose it on the fly. So the woman just grabbed the baby, hugged the child, and began to sing. And that was the song that came. And that's the song everybody's singing all over the world. You've heard the genesis of this hymn, "It is well with my soul." See, troubles come. Let me explain something here. Some time ago, and God is helping me. He's answering the prayer, bit by bit. But I must never forget that I prayed that prayer, so I can keep receiving the answer. Some years ago, recent years, I prayed, I said, "Lord, help me to see from above, not from beneath. I don't want to walk like common people, not knowing where they are going. I see people make decisions, and it's obvious they don't know. They are blind to things happening, the real things of this life. Your name is Joseph, and you are bribing to come out of Potiphar's house. And somebody telling you that Mrs. Potiphar can help you. And you're a fool. You went back to Mrs. Potiphar, madam, and they said you can help me. And the woman said, you too, you can help me, can't you? I said, madam, leave that in jail. They say you can help me. You will soon help her, idiot. As long as you are standing there, you will wake up on the other side of the bed. Why? You're looking for help. Instead of wonder, see, there's one scripture we declare every, when I say every morning, I mean, unless you are not together that morning, pray in my house. Anyway, it's like, you know, King Noah, we share grace every time. All right? In my house, I will share grace. I will finish praying, finish everything. Where does our help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Psalm 121. We declare it every morning. If your name is Joseph, don't go to Mrs. Potiphar to look for help. What is wrong with you? You know Mrs. Potiphar. You are a young woman. One big man saying that he has made passes at you several times. Somebody now tells that he's the one that can help you. And you are going back to go and knock at his gate. Can't you see that Satan is on your matter? You go and say, "Chief, that's not why I came." But you came. Please stop that, John. No, please, they said you are the one that can help me do this one. And you came. You now drag two of your friends to follow you. Do you know some people have more sense than you and your friends put together? See, let me tell you, let's not deceive ourselves. If a man is making passes at you, your help is not coming from him. You don't need anybody to tell you. This is a place you don't go and look for help. Good morning, sir. Please, I don't know. Look, let me just stop it. Remember, if you don't, if nobody else will help you, tell them, my help comes from the Lord. And can I say something? It is not every help you want that God wants to give. People don't understand. There are times that thing, faith does not mean you can control life. I don't know how hell will I help people understand this. If you gave Joseph all the keys to release, the keys to breakthrough, 5 buttons you will press, even God can't say no. You know what will have done with it? If he had the first 5, the first 4, before he went to Egypt, he would have used to escape. If he had it complete from the house of Potiphar, he's disappearing. He would never have used it to go to the throne of Egypt. I hope you know that. If you woke up early in the morning and said, "Lord," say, "Joseph, what do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, I want to see my father. I want to go home. I want to know I'm not a slave. There's an inheritance in our family." Is that not what he asked for? Yes, sow a seed and tell God what you want him to do between now and tomorrow. The guy will sell everything and plant a seed. By this time tomorrow, I'm back with my father. Hallelujah. That's what I mean. That it's not every help you are looking for that God wants to give. Some of them, his answer is no. Have you ever heard this before? God never says no. If he never says no, he's not a father. If he never says no, he's not a father. He has to say no. My children have asked me for things. I'll tell you your dreams. Ah, daddy now. Don't daddy now me. Leave me. Where I'm going is this. Listen, let me get back to me. I'm saying. So we must understand, okay? That God-centered thinking thing I'm saying. So things go badly. It just means that God said no. Say, maybe my faith was not enough. Yes, but God used that your lack of faith to judge and say no. Whatever it is, nobody else has any portion in your life. What did he say concerning Joseph? He led him about and there was no foreign God with him. That's my principle. My phone breaks. Somebody just says, Lord, now that you have broken the phone, can I have another one? Now, I've hardly lost my phone like that. I'm just as an example. I'm traveling on the road, the tire goes down, there's no spare. Oh, wait, I will not do that. I just pause. I'm first thinking, I'm not supposed to go or what? Okay. You know, I will be thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. But I will never say the devil say I won't go. Does the devil know where he is going? You're telling me the devil say I won't go. Can the devil, you see, this devil, why do we worship him so much? You know, Christians, a lot of times we fear the devil more than we fear God. You know that? If God says don't pass here, we say he's merciful. If they just tie red rope, don't go there. Ordinary red rope, which may have been tied by children playing. You get there, you see the red rope. You think. And it's your house. Some people, you can make them not enter their own house. Just go there, tie red rope there, and throw small powder on the floor, and go away. They will stand there. Greater is it that is in me. Pass if you can. Is your house and you are afraid to enter. They will look the powder. There's one joke I saw once, very, very funny. The man got to his car. He saw somebody has spread powder around the car. White powder. So he went and took bus or taxi, went to work. Next day, he took bus and went to work. The third day, he came back from work and saw his son playing inside the circle. So he shouted, it was a joke I read. Junior, what are you doing? Will you come out from there? Go! So the boy came out. And he was warning the boy and lecturing the boy. Next time, he said, lecturing the boy. You saw that powder? Do you know who put it there? The boy said, yes. He said, mommy was arranging the store. She saw old flour in the house. I should go and throw it away. So I was just playing. He can't begin beating the boy. Why are you beating the boy for your unbelief? You are beating the boy for your unbelief. The master there flogging the boy. Why? The boy didn't do anything. He did what children do. They play. And they spread powder. But when you watch too many Patience is Awkward movie, you now will not. I'm telling you. The Lord is good. That's why I'm going to see some people, they fear Satan. They fear the devil more than they fear God. But if God says, don't do something, at the back of their mind, he's merciful. Hey, by the way, if I'm the one you go and scatter powder in front of my gate and tie a red rope, I'll open the gate to find out who did it. I'll first open the gate. Why is it? It will snap. God said, Banky, if I hear you pray, that is when you enter into trouble. I'm not allowed to pray such prayers. Never. You can't. No. I'm not allowed. Pray? No. Just tell you, get away. I will enter my house. I won't say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you know, whatever they had in mind. it is in their mind. It's not in my house. Let it stay in their mind. Whatever they have, what? It's in their mind. It's nothing concerning me. I will. That night, children, let us gather. Let us pray. Let's surround this house with what? Yesterday, what did you surround the house with yesterday? Is it this red rope that has now turned you to a prayer warrior? Small aside. Those of you that pray every night, you won't let your children sleep. It's child abuse. I hope you hear what I said. I need to help some people now. These children are in secondary school. They are in primary school. They are children. When you want to pray, please. Jesus even left his disciples behind. So you will not leave children behind. What is wrong with you? When he wanted to pray, did he carry them? When they pray all night, he left them behind. So that you stay here. You want to wake children up at 2 a.m. to follow you to pray till 4 a.m. Why? Whatever is worrying you is not worrying them. I hope you're getting my point. You are their parents. Take care of it. Let them sleep. Children will get to school next day and they are dozing. My wife knows what I'm talking about now. She has one child like that, perpetually sleeping in class. Because in their house, they will never stop praying. Family altar. You are witches in that house. Your family altar only works at night. Why can't you alter the family at 9 p.m.? 10 o'clock, let the poor children go and sleep. You that your sin will let no one let you sleep. Get up. This girl is not sin. That's how this man said the other day. Sorry, I've never started my message. I'm just telling you what I'm trying to preach. Okay? Why is your wife laughing? Your husband is begging you to stop laughing. This man was talking the other day. He said, you know, his wife, when they packed their children and left him, I had not seen children in over 10 years. He said, since he knew the woman, even before they married, he said, there's never any time she's sleeping between 2 and 4 a.m. Is it 12 and 2 or 2 to 4? That's always praying. He said, look, quote me. That's what he said. He said, there's never a time, not one day, she's asleep at 2 a.m. She's up praying. Yeah, she couldn't sustain her family. And he said the reason why now. He said this is not nonsense prayer. He said this die. And the point is, hey, small aside, please, I'll get to my message in a moment. Have you read that? I said you should open somewhere. We will read it. Be patient. He said, every day, this die prayer. If you're a husband, don't let your wife pray die prayer. Please, those of you married spiritual women, you need prayer. You hear what I said? Those of you that went and married spiritual women, you need prayer. You need deliverance. Your wife needs to be delivered out of spirituality. After you finish praying those your 2 hours every night prayer, now wake your husband and say what the Lord said to you. Better stop that nonsense. You've started witchcraft. You know, I've told some of you spiritual girls, see, so that you are the only one spirits talk to in your house. They don't talk to your husband. Next time they come, when they finish, I'm the Lord thy God. Say, are you not the Lord of God, the God of my husband too? Talk to him. As I was sleeping last night, the Lord now began to say that what we need to do in this house, yeah, you have started. Fake spirituality is what I'm attacking. If you want to pray between 2 and 4 a.m. every day, don't wake your children up. It's a bad thing. God doesn't expect him to be waking up 2 and 4. How many times did Jesus Christ waking up 2 and 4 a.m. and all his disciples with him? There's no crisis. Some prayers are meant to be prayed before when there's crisis. 2 to 4 a.m. every day. Your children will not sleep. When they fail in school, and I say, you don't know who's doing them. You are the one doing them. Don't worry. I know some people think I'm very odd. But at least, they're always sending me meals. God, you have delivered us. You have delivered us to this man of God. If you want to go and pray between 2 and 4 a.m. every day, please leave your children, let them sleep. They have school tomorrow morning. Say, we'll do vigil in our house. Please do it on Friday night. I hope you're getting my point. So they cannot sleep long until Saturday morning. Are you getting my point? And if the children are doing vigil every Friday night with you, you all have a problem in that house. I will say it. You know, there's one thing about, I was one that paid for this pulpit. I remember. This one. Sorry, Mahogany. Look, So nobody can drive me from here. If you invited me to your church to preach, now when I get here, now you'll be looking at me funny. But when I'm here, if you send me notes, please, I'll stop that. I'm not stopping. Every Friday night, you carry your chair during vigil. I have a question for you. What is wrong with praying on Saturday morning? I just want to know. You get where I'm going? Forget that thing. That's not spirituality. You just have a religious habit. There's no crisis. There's no problem. You say, no, it's Friday night. We don't sleep. They're not going to preach. Some of them are preachers. Say, you know, one thing I like about my house that Friday night, we don't joke with it. We pray the whole night. I'm looking at them like, so, which sin did you commit? You have to atone for the whole night on Fridays. My friend, Pastor Courage, he believes in prayer. He prays a lot. He teaches on prayer. But he said, all the years he's been pastor, he's not done night vigil. If he ever did, maybe once or twice. He said, he doesn't do night vigil. He doesn't understand what you want to pray at night. You can't pray during the day. This vigil you're talking about, it's not drum you beat there. Half of the people are sleeping. Thank you. Some will say, when Papa starts prophesying, wake me up. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not against praying. Are you getting my point? But don't feel spiritual because you never sleep at night. During the day, you are just drowsy and groggy all the time, and you are feeling spiritual. You are not spiritual. Meanwhile, during the day, you are on YouTube. You are watching Telemundo. Z-World, that's what they are watching. Now wake up at night. The one that now makes me laugh, what did you pray about? They don't know. Said the Holy Spirit that was helping me to pray. You were there for 2 hours. Say, That, my people, is not spirituality. I'm warning some women. Stop using witchcraft to control your house. That's why you and your husband will be fighting all the time. Pray for him. Stop bringing him message from the Lord. I will sit. Your matter. I'm on your matter. You want to know what your problem is? I'm giving you the solution to your problems now. Every night you finish prayer. At the end of the morning, I tell your husband what the Lord is saying. You are not spiritual. You are controlling. You are manipulative. That's what you are doing. Before your husband wants to talk to your children, in his mind, what did God say to your mother? And he's a Christian. And this poor guy reads his Bible. At least Psalm 23 every morning, he will chant it. You know, the worst wives I've found are those ones who feel so spiritual. When it's time to pray, they hold hands. The husband can't talk. He came on, so pay. You are holding hands with your husband. And my spirit. Don't worry, spiritual people don't like me. I don't like them too. Prophetess, go outside and go and prophesy. When you enter the house, put a knee down in the morning. My husband, good morning. Say, bless me, my priest. Bless me, you are my personal prophet. Before the man is talking, you are inhaling. That's why he doesn't believe. See, all you spiritual women, once you get home, turn your spirituality to romance.
My God.
Yeah. When you're outside, before husband, I say, praise God, praise God, praise God. But when it's your husband, do like this, that's better. You can see the rest of us have been doing spiritual. But when you see that guy, man, show him a different side. Hold his tie and say, honey. When you go to church, can you do, it's good. When you get home, it's something else. So, some of these women that are so spiritual, you wonder, how did you have 5 children? You're just wondering. How? How? Exactly. Immaculate conception. Nonsense. Can I? Everybody, why are you looking at me like that? You are looking at these people. Okay, okay. The Lord is good. Hey, 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 prophetess, you are not hearing God more than the rest of us. Relax. Relax. I know, anyway, we are helping some people. You know, some people right now, eh? They want to get up to the kitchen. But the husband says, sit down, sit down. They are streaming online. They want to go to the kitchen. The husband says, no. I'm not hungry, sit down. Because the man has been under oppression for the last 5 years. Ever since you went for one women's meeting and they anointed you prophetess, you now came home. That's why I can't talk again. What may look like a good thing in the wrong place is a bad thing. You hear what I said? Stop using prophecy to overturn your husband's decisions. If you're not careful, evil spirits will be leading you up and down. Your husband says he has thought about it. He says, okay, your children are going to this particular school. You say, okay. The next morning, he said, my husband, I was praying this morning. You know, as I was just praying. And then, you know, I saw two clouds moving. And one cloud went like this, it turned dark. And the other one went like this, it turned white. And I saw glory on one cloud. And the one that turned dark, I looked on that. And it's the name of the school you said they should go to. Yaj. It's witchcraft you are practicing. It's witchcraft. The man can't think again. There's a reason why God called the prophetess in the Bible Jezebel. There's a reason why they call her Jezebel. That Jezebel was supposedly a Christian, hearing from God, called herself a prophetess, and was misleading people astray. Leading them astray. I thank God for people like me. Your prophetic anointing never removes my sense. Prophesy from now till tomorrow. See, I believe in prophecy. You've heard me. I talked. There are times, the other day I called my sister, I said, look, I need to talk to you. And I said, look, and as I was calling, I wanted to hear a word of prophecy. And as she was talking, I was taking, she didn't know. When she finished talking, I just sat down, summarized everything she said, because I knew I heard the word of a prophet. So don't think, I don't undermine prophecies. But I will not be manipulated by any. People have followed prophets and died. Because the prophet lied to them. He said, okay, Pastor, what if... You know what I'm saying? Because this spiritual realm, man, is a very tricky realm. You have to train yourself well. People have prophesied before. They finished prophesying. I told my wife, he didn't hear anything. Some of you know. One man finished prophesying. I told the guys, I said, this one is not of God. Read your Bible, can judge prophecies. The Bible expects us to judge prophecies. The man I'm talking about, I love him. I don't know him personally, but I've heard his messages. He finished prophesying, I said, this is not of God. He went on that prophecy, I said, he has stopped hearing God. Then later, good man, the Lord bless him. You know what he did? He apologized. He said, when I said this, it was my mind saying it, not God. When I said this, I realized that I was not accurate in the spirit. I told the people here, I said, did I not tell you guys? When I was saying that, it was as if, who give you the boldness? I said, look, there are key words I heard. I knew this was not God. I said, there were just key words I heard. This is what is called discerning of spirits. I said, listen, I just heard this key word, heard this one. I said, this is not God. But good man, may the Lord bless him and increase his ministry. He came back about a year later. I said, when I said this last year, it was a mistake. God didn't say it. I added to his words. When I said this one, it was a mistake. God didn't say it. I added to his words. He counted some things. The very things I said, this cannot be of God. Somebody wrote me that time saying, how can I call TB Joshua a false prophet? See, what I call is not what matters, it's what you are. And if you don't know how to judge prophets, you come to our prophetic school so that we will teach you. So telling us what gave you the right. Just because I say, my friend, get out. You know, some people will just be talking just like a perfect. Look. Do we look like we're in the same class? No, seriously, you want to tell them, say, what we're not in the same class. Go to your class, go and have your discussion with your mates. Let me go to my class, have my discussion, because you don't even know where to start from. That what gave me the right. You see, do you have a Bible? When you read, didn't you see the Bible talking about false prophets will arise? If the Bible says false prophets will arise, why would I not be able to tell you that somebody is false? Don't you see this David, Elijah, all over Enugu here? He's a false prophet. And anybody you see in a photograph with him is also false. If you see anybody using TB Joshua as his watermark, it's a false prophet. What else are you looking for? Can we see this on our message? So, I believe in prophecies. But I will not be manipulated by prophecy. I will not be manipulated. And I'm telling some of you, stop getting into this manipulative spirit. This witchcraft spirit, not by using prophecies to harass people. Your friends come and say, let's do something. You don't want to do it. You tell them, let us pray. Meanwhile, you know you don't want to do it. Be honest. Just say to them, guys, wait. This thing, I'm not comfortable with it. Not let us pray before we move. Hey, Bala, Father, I want to thank you. Hey, a boy. I began to see. You begin to see. See, don't let demons lead you about. Oh. If you continue like that, one day these guys are going to run you mental. One of the keys to protecting yourself is integrity, honesty. If your friends want to do something you don't like, tell them, guys, I don't think I like this thing. Ladies, I don't like it. It's not my kind of thing. They say, you've started again. Say, yes, I don't. Say it the way it is. Don't want to manipulate them. You now turn it to prayer. Say, let us pray before we go. And they are now praying. As I see dark clouds ahead. I say, you did not want to go. It is not a matter of prophecy. If you really are led of the Spirit, point in that, you know, are you gonna, like now? My wife knows. Everyone knows me. See, so there are things I naturally don't like. And I will never use prophecy to stop people. See, guys, you know I don't like doing this thing. It's natural. Do you follow my point? Don't couch it behind spirituality because it is not spiritual. But then sometimes your feeling may also be Holy Spirit. Are you getting my point? That's why I'm giving you a key. Be honest about it. Now, if your friends understand your life of integrity and that you normally don't raise objections based on what you think the Spirit is saying, when the Spirit is not saying anything, then you say, guys, I perceive this journey is going to be fraught with danger. Then they will listen. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They will listen. So what am I saying to you? Live a life of integrity normally. If you don't like something, say, I don't like it. Are you going, I don't want to go. Why? I like to stay in my house. And they stop saying that, that day when they were, maybe some people now had accidents on the way. That day my spirit said that, your spirit didn't say anything. You didn't want to go. The ones your spirit was happy, they still had accident. Are you getting my point? Don't use that to be judging everything just because you had a bad feeling. You've had bad feelings so many times, most of the time nothing bad happened. One day I was rushing, I left my wife in Enugu, in Benin. She was, one of these children that time. I was rushing to Enugu to come and preach. Now my car stopped for Oji River. By the time I called the mechanic in Enugu, he brought a battery. My alternator was bad, so my battery died there. I didn't know about it. My alternator was bad. I didn't receive it on time. So by the time I called everything, guys now came, my mechanic came. I think it was, okay. The current AG of Enugu, he went to my car. I left my house key with him. So went to my house, took my wife's car, went to get a mechanic, and he and the mechanic now came down to where I was. Let's make a long story short. By the time we got to Enugu, it was closing time for Bible study, and I was rushing to come and preach. So later on, I now told my wife, I said, didn't I didn't make it to Enugu on time? I didn't preach yesterday. He said, hey, I wanted to tell you not to go. I said, my very clear. You never want me to go. I mean, whoever wants the husband to go. I said, don't make it look like anything. I told her that day. I said, can I relax? So that next time, now when I want to go, I said, I don't think you should go. All the days you have not been wishing I should go. I've been going successfully. The Lord is good. The people I'm helping, they're out there. Some of you are even here. I just assume that people are out there. The Lord is good. Please, don't get me wrong, please. I'm not saying that prophecies are not important or God doesn't lead us. But I've seen a flaw amongst many Pentecostal women. Not just, I mean, I focus on women now. And many Christians generally. In trying to use spirituality to manipulate people. And it's not necessary. I hope you're getting my point. Please, pastors, don't use it also. Don't use spirituality to manipulate people. Don't blame the Holy Spirit for what you want to do. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to do something. I hope you're getting my point. Just don't blame the Holy Spirit. The Lord is good. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. All right, the Lord is good. Says so you open somewhere. Let's not get into today's message. Back to the message. Remember I said we should have what? God-centered what? Thinking. Your life is in God's hands. Said the Lord led him about, and there was no foreign God with him. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 32. The Lord led him about, and there was no foreign God with him. The Lord alone guided him. The Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign God with him. That's verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 32. And that's one thing you should bear in mind as a Christian. The Lord alone is guiding you, and there is no foreign God in your life. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So I said we should open somewhere. Joshua chapter what? Okay, it's even open in my Bible. Sorry. Now the story here is the story of I. Or like some will call it AI. But let's just take it the simple way. I. From verse 1. Now I'll jump a number of verses to get to the main thing I want to bring out. But the sons of Israel acted unfaithfully in regard to the things under the ban. For Achan, let me read that verse 1 in New Living Translation. It said, but Israel violated the instructions about the things set apart for the Lord. A man named Achan has stolen some of these dedicated items, so the Lord was very angry with the Israelites. Now, he described who Achan was. Now, bear that in mind. So, from verse 2, Joshua sent some of his men from Jericho to spy out the town of Ai. And then they said to him, there's no need for all of us to go up there. Just send a few men. So, in verse 4, approximately 3,000 warriors were sent. But they were soundly defeated. 3,000 warriors were sent, but they were soundly defeated. Verse 6, Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening. Please, I like this rendering, New Living Translation here. It said, Joshua and the elders of Israel tore their clothing in dismay, threw dust on their heads, and bowed face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord until evening. Then Joshua cried out, O sovereign Lord, why did you bring us across the Jordan River if you are going to let the Amorites kill us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side. Lord, now let me read that from New American Standard, verse 7. He said, why did you, because it's very important to get it literally, why did you ever bring these people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? I need to get that because that's what he said, not to let them kill us. What he actually said is, why did you bring us to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? He said, oh Lord, what can I say? Since Israel had turned their back before their enemies. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it, and they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have even taken some of the things under the ban, and have both stolen and deceived. Moreover, they have also put them among their own things. Let me stop reading here, because we know the rest of the story. Just wanted to get this out for us clearly. Please notice this. Israel went to battle. They lost the battle. Now, this is the interesting part. Do you know how many men were killed? It's written there, 36. 3,000 men went, 36 were killed. Now, they scattered in disarray. We don't know the details of exactly what happened. But things went on against them. They had to run. 36 were killed out of 3,000 men. But the elders of Israel, led by Joshua, thought that was pretty unusual. But I want you to notice what they said. They said, "Why did you deliver us into the hands of the Amorites?" Of the people of Ai now, all right? Why? Which verse is that? Verse 4, 6, yeah, 6 and 7. "Why did you ever bring the people over the Jordan only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites?" Did you notice what I said? That as far as they were concerned, they were delivered by God into the hand of their enemies. You know what? Moses said that to them before. Go back to that Deuteronomy chapter 32, where I quoted something from briefly, that is a short while ago. Look at what he said here. Deuteronomy 32. I'll read from verse 28. "For they are a nation lacking in counsel, and there is no understanding in them. Would that they were wise." Now notice this. "Oh, that they were wise and could understand this. That they would discern their future." Now listen to verse 30. "How could one chase a thousand?" How could one person chase a thousand of them? "And two people put 10,000 of them to flight, unless their rock sold them, unless the Lord had given them up." Did you notice that? That was what Moses told them. That if ever you lose your battle, it is because God sold you and gave you up. I just wanted to use those two things. I'm talking about God-centered thinking. So that if as a Christian I fail an exam, I know modern teaching in Christianity is that it's not God, it's the devil. Please, let's stop that. What did I say? Let's stop that. It's not God, it's the devil. Please stop that. No, I keep on worrying about this. Do you know why you need to stop it? When you are supposed to be repenting and asking God to show you stuff, you'll be there groaning and fighting the devil. And say, "Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." "The devil, devil, you will not take what is mine. What is mine, and mine is mine, and it's not yours. Devil, devil, devil. Oh, devil. Hey, devil, I come against you." And the devil, you know, is standing on one side like, "This boy and his father, they have a quarrel. He's shouting my name." And then I say, "Hey, everybody, you will say today, devil," they will shout, "devil, the thing you have taken, the thing you will bring him back." Hey, devil say, "Omo. All of you see me. What did I take from these people?" Nothing. And this is the painful part. And the Lord is waiting like this. The Bible says he waits that he may show them mercy. How does he show mercy? They have to turn. They have to fall on their faces before the ark and say, "Lord, why have you given us over to the hand of the Amorites?" They need to come back and say, "Lord, what is going on?" See, let me explain. I need to emphasize this. We have over-magnified the devil. He's become too big in our eyes. We don't even realize it when we started worshiping him. Yeah. One man of God said something once. Prayed for a man who was sick. He prayed for him. Began to recover. So now told the wife, the family, that they need to keep declaring the word of God and, you know, claiming their victory in Christ Jesus. So now I was not saying something, you know, to say that Satan is under our feet, we are victors in Christ Jesus and all of that. The woman said, "Shh, shh, shh, don't say it so loud, the devil may hear." Yes. And the man of God was alarmed that, wait, who else is supposed to hear? You know what? They didn't want to offend the devil. That if you say it loud now, the devil hears it now. You know, some people cannot travel and anybody know. Why? The witches may wait on the way. And I keep on saying, your safety is not dependent on the ignorance of your neighbors. Do you get my point? Your safety is not dependent on the ignorance of your neighbors. And the Bible told us clearly. He prepares safety before you in the presence of all your neighbors. And whatever, you know, these people are thinking is their neighbors.
So they're in front of the house. They're locking their gate. We are not traveling. No, we're just going to church. We're just going. Meanwhile, these buggers are all going. They are leaving the town. They just okay. Leave it there. In the evening, we'll collect. They want their neighbors to hear, to think they are going to church. They will enter the camp, go in JJ, say, if your neighbor is here, between you and Abia, you may have an accident too. I thank God for my life. If ever we have to travel, everybody in my house, I call my neighbor. Bros, how now? He say, Pastor, good afternoon, sir. I say, please, there's nobody at home. We are all traveling. So any movement you see in the house is illegal. Yeah, because he's the one that will look into the compound and see light. And he will call and say, Pastor, I thought you said we're not at home. Say, well, no, somebody's in your house. Are there a couple? What if your neighbors are witches? What difference will it make? For information, let me scare you. You want to be scared? Let me scare you. They are monitoring spirits. They don't need you to talk. The spirits are looking. They know where you are going. They will call them and say, they pass Oji River. Should we play their tire? Hey, look, the truth is that they can't do anything. Let's get it clear. Your safety is not dependent on the ignorance of your enemies. God makes it a point to bless you in their presence. You can't have a new car and be hiding it from the witches. If you have not paid your landlord, yes, you can hide it. But you see, if it's not your landlord, if it's the witches, please, I've told you before. Bring the drink. Bring the food. Invite them. I bought a new car. All of you come and drink. Don't hide it. My wife is pregnant, so she will soon deliver. Tell them. They can't kill the child. So I will be hiding it. The woman don't get belly good. They wear boo-boo. So that the witches will not see. They can see it. They don't use normal eye to see. I hope you're getting my point. Their cohorts in the realm of the spirit can see. But you want to know the truth? There is nothing they can do. Nothing. So they will hide. Some will even travel. If they get that pregnancy, they will disappear. Why? The witches. Don't go to the village until you deliver. If you go to the village, let me scare you again. They know already. They come to town at night to scan all their village people. Why? To see any progress you have made. But you want to hear deeper truth? There's nothing anybody can do about it. If God could say to Satan, thus far, but you can't do this, he has said much more to all those enemies you are afraid of. I hope you're getting my point. You are not healthy because the witches don't know that you are there. You are healthy because Jesus paid. You know, he said, I said to you in your blood, what? Leave. Once God has spoken, that's it. Let me tell you, if I were you, the way I would do witches, if I actually know them, when they are passing, I bring out money from my hand pocket, I start counting it. Lord of miracle, now my power. This is 200,000. Praise God. I think another 1.5 million is coming. Let them hear. Why? Because he prepares a table before me. How? In the presence, why am I hiding? Why am I? I have to believe God. And I've told you, if you buy a moto, drive to the village. Don't be afraid. Say, they will not see you are prospering. Anyway, you know yourself. You know. Your main problem is not the witch, it's your stinginess. You are buying moto. What have you bought for them there? If I'm that tire bust, I mean your friend and they won't pray for you. Go there, carry drink. Are you getting my point? See, you have two causes. You know how much they say hoka? You know how expensive it is? These are your cousins. They are the ones that is a catechist in this village church and the next one. Buy him a motorcycle. Why is looking at you up and down when he saw that car was that he realized how wicked you were? It's not a witch. I hope you're getting my point. Say, Emeka, I heard you are the catechist. Hey, how do you move? Say, would they try? Use your bicycle. Say, no now. Buy him a very good motorcycle. Do you get my point? That is, the boy, even if he was planning to join witches before, he would stop. He said, hey guys, you can't kill this one because this is my motorcycle now. Now, that's not literal. Are you getting my point? But I'm just trying to say, so, don't be afraid of anybody. No? We have to say this once in a while to help Christians understand what it means to be a believer. I hope you're getting my point. But let's sit on our message. God-centered thinking. You know, we're talking about praying, right? What did I tell you I want to talk about today? Let's see whether you can remember it. You're talking about prophets. Removing what? What's the first one? Praying to remove the hindrances to answers to prayer. Good. That's it. Now, I've said all of this, I think, well, let me watch my time now. I've said all of this to bring out a few points. And the main thing I want to bring out is for us, that's for now, in line with our main teaching, is for us to understand that the problem is not outside there. The problem of answer to prayer is between you and God. Now, time will not let me now, but let me just go over it. You know, in that Mark chapter 11, we read the other time, and I tried to explain that he said that whatever you pray, believe, King James says, you have received them and you shall have. No, most Bible say you have received, but literally King James says, believe you receive. Believe that ye receive and you shall have. So we see a number of things there. You pray. Then next, God hears. John said to us later, whatever we ask in his will, in accordance with he hears us. And if we know he hears us, then we know we have that which he has, which we have asked of him. So, but Jesus said, you shall have. Are you getting my point? Which means you don't have. So there's a lot of confusion here, it seems, but really there's no confusion. What is there is this. When you pray, the Lord grants. Are you getting me? Then, what you are supposed to do is believe you are receiving, and then you will eventually see it in physical what? Manifestation. So there are three positions there, or the three experiences. One, after praying, God hears immediately. The end of it is what? You see it physically. In between, there is a process. Now, in between, you have to keep your faith up. I hope you're getting my point. There are things that delay that process. So that a day can be 1,000 years. What God could have granted you in one day, he may end up granting it like 6 years, 7 years. What God wanted to grant, or what normal people will receive in 7 years, you could receive it in a day. Peter said, it depends on the kind of, listen to this carefully. Peter said, it depends on the kind of change that takes place inside you. Do you follow my point? He said, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. He said, God is not slow as what? Men count slowness. But he's waiting for what? He's long-suffering towards you so that all we repent. Basically, what are we saying? What makes the Lord appear slow is how long it takes us to repent. Do you follow what I'm going to say here? That you see, God said, I could have brought them in by a shorter road to the promised land. But why did he use a longer road? Who can tell me why? No, there was something specific he said first time. He says, so they will not see war and turn back. So what made them go through a longer road in the first place? Timidity. If they were not afraid of war, God would have taken them through a shorter road. Did you catch that? He said, they could have gone through this shorter road, this shorter. He said, but God and Moses, they looked and said, the enemies on that road, they are intense. These men will have to fight one day after another. That will discourage them, they will go back. Basically, if the whole of Israel was made up of men like David, Joab, and those his men, they would have gone through the shorter road. Think about it. Even when they were leaving Egypt, David was there. Abner was there. Joab was there. Abishai was there. I'm talking about all those great men in Israel later. You understand? Even what's the name of the other guy? Amasa, Asahel. I was looking for the one that they took his wife. Uriah. Go and read the story of those men. If those ones were the ones living in Egypt, do you know they would have entered the promised land sharp? God would not have said they will see war and turn back. They are war. Do you get my point? They are war themselves. Like in that Bosco, they say, I'm the fight. I'm the war. I'm the finisher. No, think about it. They will have just gone. They say, okay, Moses, they come this way. He says, sir, this is shorter now. Say, there's a war. They say, where are the fight? Let's go. Can you see what I'm saying here? So why did God take them through a longer road? Because of what? Timidity. Because of fear that he saw locking in their hearts. So the more fear you have, the longer your road. You have to understand this. He's not angry. He's not angry. He's not, how can you be so timid? No. He's mindful. David said that we are but what? Flesh. I've said it to us many times. What God doesn't like is stubbornness. What God doesn't like is people refusing to accept their faults. So what he did was to take them by another road, which will give him time to prove himself further in their lives. They were going to see him do things. And all those things were supposed to prepare them for the war they will fight in the promised land. And they began to walk. Then when they finally got to the edge of the promised land, by this road that's relatively longer than the shorter one, they didn't see war. They just saw giants. And then they went back. Now, it took them another 40 years. What was God doing? Listen to this carefully. God was removing... Now, please follow me. Israel now represents a person. What I'm trying to say is that Israel was a nation, but we can look at them as one individual. So what was God doing in Israel? He was removing the old generation and allowing the new generation to develop. So all those that got there and said, we can't enter, he said they will perish where? In the wilderness. Now take Israel as a nation and as a person. The Israel nation as a person. So what's God doing? He's removing the old thoughts, the old way of doing things, until the new thought, because he said, put on the new man, which was created after God, in the likeness of God, in the righteousness and holiness of the truth. So the new man is being built up inside us. So when you get built to a particular level, that you cannot look the giants in the face, you cannot walk in. That is where you finally take the promised land. In Israel's case, it was literal. People literally had to die. Young people had to grow. Until everyone that was 20 years and above perished in the wilderness. They now had a new generation that was not, that didn't have Egypt in them, ready to enter into the promised land. That's exactly what God does with everybody. The reason why he doesn't answer, one reason, not the only reason, one reason why he does not answer prayer quickly is what I'm explaining here. Like I said the other day, he knows that if I give you the thing you're asking for now, you will lose it as fast as I give it to you. Go and read your Bible. The Bible says concerning Jesus Christ. No, that was Jesus was speaking now. John sent to them, he said, are you the one to come? We are to expect another. What did he say? Go and tell John what you both see and hear. The blind see. The lame walk. He said, the lepers are cleansed. The dead are raised. They now say what to the poor? The poor have the gospel preached to them. What does that tell you? Did he say the day will come rich? You know why? Oh, you don't just see. You see a poor man today dashing 550 million naira. At the end of 1 year, he's poor again. He doesn't have a dime. And you ask him for the 50 million, he can't tell you where it went. Where's that 50 million I gave you? It was here. I don't know what happened. See, thief will steal a portion. He will buy land that's been sold to 10 people with a portion. He will buy a car and jam it with a portion of it. At the end of the day, he will be owing money. See, God said, see, you know why I've not given that guy money? Right now, he's not owing anybody. If I give him 50 million, at the end of 2 years, he will be owing 25 million. Now he won't be able to sleep again. That's what Jesus was saying. The poor have the gospel preached to them. They were not made rich. They eventually became rich. It's just that it was not a miracle. He did not make anybody, anytime, rich by an instantaneous miracle. What did he do? He built them up until they were able to receive. So you're going to be a millionaire. God said, good, fine. Take 5,000, go and trade with it. It becomes 6,000. Take 6,000, trade with it. It becomes eventually 10. Take 10, trade with it. It becomes 20. Take 20, trade with it. When you see that you have been doing it well, it's all right. Take 1 million, trade with it. Then one day you realize that this guy can handle anything. Then from handling 50 million, he can just say one day, give him 500, he can handle it. He's been growing. He has learned all the lessons of wealth. I told the one man told me that. They say I don't help people. He said, it's not as if I can't help them. He said, when the opportunities for business come, and they say I don't share it with them. He said, the reason is that. He said, look at it. You were telling me about something then. He said, my investment in it has become 50 million naira. He said, if tomorrow that thing disappears and turns to zero, I will laugh. He said, I will just laugh. That's how he did. He said, I will laugh. He said, but if they invest money and the money goes to zero, can they laugh? He said, so when opportunities come, these things are risky. They say, I don't share it. He said, but I know they cannot handle the risk. Now, let me add my own words. They are waiting for guaranteed outcomes. It doesn't exist. He said, I don't want to spoil our relationship. Because if they follow me, they are going to lose heavy. Because sometimes in life, you lose. He said, they can't handle the loss. I don't want quarrels. Yeah, he told me, this is a very rich man. He said, they can't handle the loss. So I don't tell them anything. But they're not angry. They say, hey, you made money from that. You didn't introduce us to business. Say, when I lost, where were you? Do you get what I'm going to say here? That is, they didn't have the capacity. It's one reason prayer appears, answers to prayer appears delayed. I'm just giving you one. Another reason why prayer answer to prayer appears delayed. James told us in James chapter 4. What did he say? You ask, you have not. Why? Please, let me sit on that for a moment. Please, I'll soon round off in a moment. All right? We're talking about prayer. We're just teaching on prayer. Let me say what I said last time. There are four keys to success in life for a Christian. You know, I'm not a key person. So when I give you keys, put them on your bunch. Hold them tight. There are four keys. What are the four keys? One, learning. Two, obeying that which you've learned. Thank you very much. Number three, which is what I'm focusing on, asking. I won't go. The fourth one is receiving. It's a process of receiving. But let me sit on asking. Asking is your key. Planning is not the key. Planning is part of receiving. It's a process of receiving. It's part of the processes of receiving. There are times you need to plan. Occupy with this until I come. God wants to make you great in life. So he gives you something small. So do business with this until I come. So plan how to do that. That is right. But that is not the key. If you're a Christian, go and learn the prayer of Jabez. Jabez prayed. Small digression again. You know, Jabez had ancestral curses. His mother called him Jabez, son of sorrow. Because I had him in sorrow. His name was Jabez, son of sorrow. You know, that could not hold him back. Do you know one man in the Bible? His name was Esau. He didn't have a blessing. But there was one key that God gave him. All the blessing went to who? Jacob. But he told him that the day you become restless. Let me tell you something about God. God is very kind. There was a curse upon Moab. The day a Moabite woman came out and said, I will follow this God, she left the curse behind and entered into the blessing. There was a curse on prostitution and even on Jericho. But the day one young lady came out and followed the people of God, she left all the curses behind and she was blessed. And these two women were listed in the lineage of Jesus Christ. There is no curse on this earth that can hold anybody down if the person is looking for freedom. God said concerning Esau, he said, one day you will get restless. And then you are going to shake off that shackle, that bondage. You will shake it off because you are angry and tired. Jabez had a curse in his life, yet he got on his knees and said, oh, that you will bless me indeed. And enlarge my coast and make my name great and keep me from harm so that it will not come upon me. What's the next line? And God answered and granted him what he had asked. First thing he said, and what's his name? Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. See, no curse can hold you down except you decide to put your hand inside. See, now one man came to me one day and said, I think I have near success syndrome in my mind. Just talk, listening to you, I will never help you in this life if I had the opportunity. You know why? You will waste it. I don't know where I get my point. That is, if I had a job now to give somebody, it's not you I will give.
Just sitting down. You know, people are talking to you. You're just there. You're listening to them. And in your mind, my company is opening next week and I need the manager. God, may I not employ this guy? Because he sat me down. He said, he doesn't understand. Human beings, they don't help people. They don't help people. My brother, this other guy, he became a commissioner in that state. You know, he didn't help me. That guy is my friend. He's now a minister in Abuja. You know, he has not helped me. The time he's kind of those who are not helping him, in my mind, the day you need help, you can be sure this guy will not help you. I went to meet a relative of mine once. I want to code in the message a bit. The person may be a relative or not a relative. Are you getting my point? It may be a man, it may be a woman. So you can't guess what. It may be a friend. I said, okay, madam, please, there are some things I need to help you with. My wife can help you with this. Ah! Tell your wife, I said, God bless you. But let me first tell you something. The way your wife wants to help me, the other woman is my friend, though. She has not helped me. He said, I've written all their iniquity down for them one by one. They refused to help me when I needed help. See, this one wanted to, I said this one should help. It has not helped. This one has not even called me in the last 2 years to see how I'm doing. I'm waiting for them. This one I'm telling you, I was there. The person was telling me all of this. I've coded it. You know whether it's a friend or an enemy, you don't know. I went down, I couldn't keep quiet. I said, madam, what about me that's sitting in front of you? Can we talk about me for a moment? You spent the last 5 minutes now telling me all the people that have not helped you. You want me to be honest? Under God, I thank God I made that trip. But experience later showed me that it was a waste of my time. And I made that visit. There was a waste of my time. All the so-called help went down to zero. Jabez did not tell any stories. One day, one guy met me. I know him in this town. In fact, some of you here know him. He sat me down and said, ah, sir, this business is good. He was telling me I should do that kind of business. He said, ah, my brother is so-and-so place. He's doing it. He makes a lot of money. But his wife will not even let him listen to us. So it's because of his wife he has not yet settled me. It's my brother. He's supposed to have settled me now, but his wife won't let him settle me. Thank God I'm older than him, and I'm more experienced in life now. I asked him, how old are you? I said, how old are you? I said, you're just blaming. I never met the old brother. I don't know the wife. So you're blaming the poor woman. You don't know what. You just sat down here, assume your brother has money. And he's not giving you because of his wife. I said, at your age in life, do you need somebody else's money? Can't you be the one making money and giving somebody else? How can you be 40 years old? You have a skill. You are working. You are waiting for a brother to settle you. No, it wasn't a 25. This is a small boy they talked to. I looked at him. I said, look at you. I gave it to him straight to. I said, leave the guy alone. You don't know what he's going through. And that woman is, you know, that is African way of thinking. If my brother is not helping me, it's his wife. You don't know that the wife is the only reason why he's still talking to you. Help is not even the problem. That he's still talking to you, speaking your calls. This guy is carrying his tools of business up and down, waiting for his brother to help him. I hope I've helped somebody. See, that your brother, next time you are going to his house, you carry something. Go and greet his wife. This is Africa now. She's your wife, for goodness sake. No Christmas have you given your wife chicken. Can't even buy a wrapper. All right? Put 4,000 naira inside and send it to your brother's wife as our wife. Yeah, you'll sit down at home, be gossiping. Don't mind Amaka. Ever since you married our brother, your brother is broke. See, let me just tell you, in case you did not know, your brother is broke. The only reason why he's not dead is Amaka is feeding him. But she's such a good woman, she wouldn't tell you people. Do you get my point? She has kept her business to herself. When you see her, she'll just be making excuses. The truth is that that black guy has not earned shishi in the last 2 years. Anytime they are coming to the village, she will go and look for money and buy fuel so that they will still look respectable. But they come empty-handed. They are sitting down there and say that he's not helping. Has he helped himself? Because of pressure from people like you, that guy went and put his money in MMM. And Mavrodi died with his money. Is it because his wife has not exposed his secret? Warn yourself. You that you know I'm talking to you, you know. You are the one I'm talking to. Or which camera should I face? Is it this one?
You are the one I'm talking to. Now, I'm going to finish preaching in the next few minutes. You will take your phone and wire that your brother's wife 20,000 naira to say, my sister, I just realized I've never dashed you anything. That's when you will see a woman shed tears. You won't know why. For your information, she has gone to church. They have said that you are the witch. See, is that not what we do each every day? We're looking for who to blame. As you are blaming her, she too, she has gone to church. And they said that ever since you married him, they don't like you. They have entered into the seventh coven. And they have said nothing will go well. And they've given her to, what they call it, familiar spirit. Did you know that anytime you're going to the village, your right tire falls into the covert on the right? They say it's true. It's them. Hey, look here, you that I'm talking to. I'm going to finish preaching in the next few minutes. As soon as I finish, you have some money. God gave you money over the last 1 week. Send her 20,000. Say, how are the children? Those boys, for goodness sake, they are your nephews. You are a wicked uncle. You are never giving them anything. One of them, their birthday was just last week. You are saying happy birthday on status. See, please, let me just warn all of you that you like to shout happy birthday. If it's my birthday, if you greet me, you don't send me anything. Whoa. Now greeting mango chop. Say praise God. Thank God for your life. Ever since you were born, this world has been better than before. Get away. This world has been better than before. You know how much I buy for? It's my birthday. Buy me for. So I can drive back to preach next week. Say, oh, pastor, it's your birthday. Oh, the glory of God will increase upon you. If that glory increases and I stay in my bedroom, you'll be happy. Don't worry, I'm not looking for money. My bed is still far. I'm just trying to tell you how to treat your nephews. Look. I hope you guys don't mind. Don't worry, I'll finish this message next time. But let me just continue what I'm saying. I'm just telling you, there's no need to go around, you know, wicked, be like a wicked African, blaming your brother's wife for everything. You have never dashed that woman's children anything. Is the boys, the children, their birthday was last week. Eh? Send them something. Buy t-shirts for them. This is not expensive. Do you know, no matter how rich you are, eh? If somebody gives you a gift, you'll be happy. It's not about the gift, it's the feeling of I'm appreciated and I'm loved. Some of you are going up and down, they feel like, my brother has money now. And even your father. Just said, no, my uncle, he's very rich. Have you ever seen a rich man that doesn't eat pineapple, doesn't eat pork, doesn't eat watermelon? Doesn't eat banana? Every time they see you in their house now to collect. He said, bro, uncle, good afternoon, sir. Ah, how are you? Emeka, how are you? It's not you, I'm just looking for another name, all right? Okay, I don't finish Emeka for this place. Let me look for another name. Chigundu, okay. Say, Chigundu, how are you? Say, uncle, I'm very fine. I just wonder whether you can help. Don't worry, he knew why you came. Anytime they see you, it is help. I'm going to disappoint them one day. Stop by. Our uncle would have to, he's waiting for you to ask for help. I'll just pass in and I say, plantain is in season or banana is in season. I just said, I know you. You like banana. You like plantain. Dump it there. And it's not bribery to wet the ground. You know some people? Please. That's not what I'm saying. So those of you that didn't let me preach my message today, you will join me to, okay, I'll preach it again next time. Let's just leave. I hope you know the year is coming to an end. I have like about 2-3 more Tuesdays. I don't know how I'll do this one now. Let's see. But we have to help those who are helping. Abby? Yes. Reverend Dami, what do you think? Mrs. Chizuru, Dami? Okay. Please, I don't mean you should go and wet ground so that next time he comes. And then you will not help you. That's not what I mean. I mean, truly be generous. One day we went to Wari to go and do a program. So guys, some people said they wanted to see me at the end. One guy came to see me. He said, I should advise him now. What is the issue? He says, he's about to do something terrible. Meafaro, you want to do something terrible? What is going on? He said, my father is not behaving like a father at all. Oh boy, what did your father do? He said, the father is selling land.
They have a lot of land in the village. But the father is selling. And the father is not sharing the money with him. The father is not sharing the money with anybody. Just selling land. So I'm going to do something terrible. I'm serious. The guy travels from one town, one small village, in Nemo. Came to where to come. Came for a program. Asked to see me after. So I asked him how old he was. He said it was 30-something. I can't remember the exact, maybe like 35, 33, something between. It's not up to 40, but more than 30. I said, do you work? I said, do you go to school? He said, yes. I said, who paid? He said, my father. I said, okay. Do you work? He said, yes. I said, which work do you do? He said, I'm a farmer. I said, so what do you farm? He said, I farm poultry. So I'm a poultry farmer. I said, yeah, okay. So you are a poultry farmer. You went to school. Your father paid. And you're earning some money. He said, yes. I said, are you aware that your father has finished discharging his responsibility in your life? He looked at me like, what did you just say? I said, when did you go home and you gave your father something? He was looking at me like, what? I said, excuse me. Let's make a long story short. I said, if your father decides to sell all the land he has, take the money. I told him this literally. Cut the money to pieces, put it in a toilet bowl, and flush it. I said, it is none of your business. The guy was dumbfounded. I said, let me tell you what you will do if you want God to bless you. I said, that time, emulsion paint, I knew the price. I said, go and buy a few buckets of emulsion paint. Get a roller brush. If you can't, get a painter. It's not expensive. Repaint your father's house. Just say, daddy, please, just give me this weekend. Then I repaint his house corner to corner for him. Can't you afford that? He said he could afford it. I said, good. I said, do you have old layers? I said, yes. I said, weekend, every weekend, take half a dozen eggs. Stop by your father's house. I said, daddy, I brought you eggs. Next weekend, bring another six. Do that every weekend. Then the guy was looking at me as if I came from the moon. I said, you know what they call old layers? He said, yes. So when you want, what they call it calling, when you want to call the birds, I said, take one, take two. Dress it. I don't mean wear bata and agbada for the, no, that's not what I mean. So people don't mean to dress chicken. They go and buy blankets for the chicken and that's what I mean. Kill the chicken, you know what I mean? Cook it, do everything, make sure it's ready to eat. I said, drop two in your father's house. I said, start doing that from now periodically. I said, if I come to where next and you are there, you will tell me how much God has blessed you. I said, you don't need your father's money. Now, what shocked me was that he had never heard that in his life. Ah! I said, which church do you people go to? At your age, you are going to your father's and go and knock and say, whether he can help you. No, don't go to his house to ask for help. Please. If you are stopping by, you brought something. A bottle of wine. Two bottles of groundnuts. A basket of fruits. Ha! You went to school. That's why you don't have work. You are irresponsible. No, I'm telling you the truth. See. Those who don't have work are those who are looking for money to eat. Those who are looking for money to help other people, they will find something to do. That thing I said, go and write it down and look at it every day. If you wake up in the morning looking for how to help you, you'll be amazed at how much you will find to do. But if you are thinking of only your stomach, you won't see anything. You won't see. Some of you, next time you get a job, as soon as you finish doing it, say, God, please, I will buy a loaf of bread, not more than that, and let me hold small transport to be able to go to the next job, but nothing else. Every dime I'm using to help somebody. You can't go around life like you have nothing to contribute. Start with your siblings and your parents. I don't care how poor you think you are. It's your nephew's birthday, for goodness sake. Buy a little boy a gift. Some people, you know your name, your brother's house. Your children call, uncle, I need help. You know, daddy, uncle is looking for you. He needs help. When you are coming, they are not excited. They are fighting each other who is going to open the door. I told you once, when my son, this big man now, I said, come, let me help you do your homework. He said, no. Ah, I was surprised.
Let me help you now. He said, no, I'm waiting for mommy. Mommy is not around yet. Let me help. I'm available. The boy said, no, mommy will come and help me. I said, why? He said, when I finish, mommy will give me something. But you, this black guy, you don't give anybody anything. When we're young, no, my mother knows how to give gifts, all right? My mother is very good at that. When we're young, Christmas, and that's like, okay, go and give this person this. But there's one particular family friend. They're very nice to us. And my mother will always send, you know, she will look for the biggest fowl around, buy it, and send it. I must be the one to carry it. Do you get the point? So one day I go to the house. I'm looking for some person. She's in the kitchen. My mother said she gave her this. So bring it. I refused. Go and call her. That mommy said I should give her something. The man was very busy in the kitchen. They said, ah, Susan, so person wants to see you. She came out. I said, ah, good afternoon, man. My mother said, she laughed. Tell your mother, God bless her. Thank mommy for me. Oh, hey, you wait. I wasn't planning to go in the hurry before. That was why I had to be the one to bring it. Look, my mother will give you transport money. Whatever they give you, I tell you, man, don't worry, man. Thank you, man. But let's see, what are you talking about? Where am I going? Why all of them are lying down when you are knocking? Is it because they don't say nothing, they drop? If they know that when you enter like this, chocolate will come out. So they are racing to go and be the one to open. No, you were the one to open last time. I'm the one that opened today. That's how they'll be fighting. And I tell everybody, wait, don't worry. There's enough for everybody. You bring sweet, you bring this, then it's birthday, you bring a t-shirt. Let me stop my message here. Yeah, I see my time. We'll talk about it next time. What I was planning to do, what I'm trying to preach, different reasons depended on us, where there's delay to answer to prayer. One of them is what? No, first, God-centeredness, right? We think about God, don't think about the devil. One, preparing us to receive. So if we have to pray, we have to pray to remove the thing in us that's not allowing us to receive. For example, Israel had timidity, had fear of war. So that made them take a longer journey. Do you get what I'm going to say? James said, we'll go over them again. How to pray? Because I didn't talk about how to pray about them at all. James said, you have not because you have. That's why I got stuck again. That you have to learn that in life, what you will have is because you did what? You asked. You asked. The Lord will grant because you asked. When he doesn't grant, he said it's because what? You ask amiss. Let me just drop this so that I don't know when we'll come back to it. Anytime there's a delay, what is prayer for? To start rearranging these things. There are prayers you pray, and you have to go and pray, Lord. Did I ask amiss? You know, God is a father. He wants to help you. You ask him, did I ask amiss? What he called asking amiss, he told us there. He said it is asking to spend on what? On your lust. So Lord, what is my lust here? That's it. And if lust is demonstrated, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Then you repent of it. Sometimes you throw away the prayer point. Some of those things, if God will bring them back later, he will have removed the lust. And you'll not, like, it's like Hannah and Peninnah. Hannah was praying. She was fighting Peninnah. Then when she came back next time, he said, Lord, let's serve your purpose. God said, fine, you got my point. Do you follow my point? So these are some of the reasons. There's an issue of impatience. Today, God will answer me today. God said, see, listen, I've heard you. But go and read the Bible where Paul said the first thing you gain after praying is what? The peace of God. He wasn't disagreeing with Jesus Christ. How could he do that? But between the time you hear and between the time you pray and God heard, and the time answer is delivered into your hand, if you don't have peace, you will lose your answer. Did you hear what I said? What did I say? Between the time you asked and God heard, and the time the answer is delivered into your hands, if you don't have peace, what do? You lose your answer. How do I know? Peter. God said, come. Did he sink? Yes. Why? He lost his peace. Let's just end it there. That's what I wanted to preach. Hopefully I'll deliver it next time if God allows us. Just give the Lord thanks for today. Just say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you.
Say, Lord, help me. Help me to be faithful in this regard. help me to respond to this. The topic was hindrances. Hindrances. Say, Lord, this hindrance, I have recognized it. Say, Lord, help me to walk above it. My own shortcomings in that regard, Lord, help me to live beyond it, to live above it. Lord, take it away from my life. Father, we thank you. This is another beginning of another season in our lives.